system if they're invited to be on. There's always a wealth of solid, true information coming from Matt's conference calls, whether it is about product, whether it is about sales techniques, closing techniques. There's just a tremendous amount of solid information that goes a long way in helping people become successful if they apply what they can learn here on these conference calls. One of the things that I do know is that at Pacesetter, with the array of companies that we have available to our agents, and with the lead systems that we have available, especially the guaranteed lead cost program that Matt set up, success today is easier, sales are easier today than at any other time in my 40 years in the final expense business. And that's the gospel truth. The carriers that we have, and you know, probably know who they are, but I'll mention some of them: Royal Neighbors, Foresters, United Home Life, Security National Life, AmeriCo, with all a Gerber, with all those carriers, there's a product that can fit anyone's needs out there, anyone's. And we have a good number of agents who really take advantage of those companies that we have. And some agents have selected a company that was their go-to company, and that is the thing to do. But they also know what they have in the bag. And if that go-to company isn't the company that they can place a product with and in that household, they know where they can go. The best smoker rates, they know who that is. We've got the cheat sheet that Matt has put out that gives the best rate and the best coverage for every person's health condition or smoker, non-smoker condition. And obviously a number of agents are making good use of that. But today is the best opportunity for final expense sales success that has existed in my 40 years. And I owe a lot of that to the fact that we have sought out companies, top line companies, to do business with. And I think some of the reasons some of the fellows who may be doing 2,000 a month, 4,000 a month, 6,000 a month, I think the reason some of those fellows don't do more is that they have a fear of investing in the right lead system and the right quantity of leads. And as long as an agent has a fear of investing, then that production level is going to remain stagnant or low. And you can't be fearful of investing in the leads. You have to have it. This marketplace, the final expense marketplace, is a lead-driven business. And I guarantee you, the more leads you have, the more people you're going to sell, the more income you're going to have. And it's just the way it is. It's a numbers game. Always has been, and remains so today. So if any of you are really reluctant to commit to 20 leads a week, 25 leads a week, I urge you to step up and get yourself amongst the leaders at Pacesetter and in the industry. So those are the observations that I wanted to make, Matt, and I look forward to the rest of the conference call.
Thank you, Jerry. Yeah, and I'd like to expand on, I think that's a great point, because I think that's what holds that fear of the leads is what holds a lot of guys back. And that's something that, you know, if you're not on the lead program, but you're thinking about it, but you're hesitating, you know, talk to us about it, and we can help you find the right amount of leads to help you set up a budget to make sure that you're comfortable with those. because, you know, it's we're not going to throw a bunch of leads down your throat to where you're drowning in leads and it sinks your business. That nobody benefits from that. We don't profit off of leads, not one penny. Our leads are the direct costs that the vendor charges for them, and it's just passed on. So actually, you know, it costs us money to run the lead program. When we look at the expenses and then also the time that we invest into it, that's the lead program is a loss on our end for running that. So we're not going to try to talk you into buying a bunch of leads that's going to end up sinking your business. So, you know, if we put you on 30 leads and that's too many for you, and you go out and write $5,000 one week, but then down the road, you know, in weeks after that, it ends up sinking your business. Well, nobody benefits from that. Like I said, we don't profit off of a lead, so that's a lose-lose situation. So we're going to try to help you stay out of that situation, find out the right number of leads for you, and what's going to work in your budget to where you can write the business if you need to off of them. So like I said, if that's something you're thinking about and whatever it is holding you back, give us a holler and we can talk about it. So, like I'd sent out in the conference call invitation, you know, we've got a pretty good, system or schedule going on our conference calls of, you know, one that's more, agent centric, towards what you're doing out in the field or how you're running your business. And then the next conference call, you know, in depth with a certain carrier. So today what we were going to try to look at is more just the in-home, the actual sales presentation. We can head off in different directions down the road, whether it's specific on leads or appointment setting or, you know, how you manage your existing client base, things like that. But we were going to try to focus on in-home sales presentation today. Don't hesitate to ask questions at any time. When I get started talking about sales presentations, I just ramble on. So interrupt me at any time if you have questions about anything specific or if there's anything that I'm not covering that you'd like to talk about. So the sales presentation part of it, I'll try not to just give my presentation on the conference call here because that's already on our training site. We have that posted online that you can read in the training manual or you can listen to in a live audio recording. So rather than actually give a presentation, I'd like to just kind of talk about the individual pieces of it. The presentation itself really is not any different. It doesn't matter if you're an appointment guy or if you're a door knocker. Hopefully you all are comfortable with doing both of those. I know a lot of guys can kind of get bogged down thinking they can't go out and work if they don't have any appointments. And it's, even if you consider yourself an appointment first guy, you better consider yourself a door knocker too, because no matter how hard you call or you have an appointment setter call for you or your wife or whoever it is, there's just that portion of people that aren't going to pick up the phone and you need to be able to go out and door knock those. So make sure you get comfortable with that. And we have those scripts online too, but it doesn't really matter if you're looking at a door knock, showing up there with a lead in your hand, or, you know, showing up with an appointment that you called and set. The presentation really doesn't vary much depending on those two factors. I suppose the first thing to talk about is, you know, any kind of warm-up period. Again, final expense sales is really very, very unique. And then a lot of the things that are held as truths for many years regarding sales really don't apply when it comes to final expense sales. And that's, it really comes back to the fact of who our demographics are, you know, what kind of people that you're visiting with. You know, kind of the same thing, how you can show up at somebody's door and knock on it at 10 o'clock in the morning with a lead in your hand and they actually invite you inside. If you were to tell somebody in other sales fields or even other fields within insurance that you just go show up at somebody's door and they let you in and you sit down and you talk and you walk out with a sale 30 minutes later, they would think you're crazy. But a lot of that, again, just comes back to the demographics that we target. You know, a lot of these folks, they remember when they were growing up, the insurance man stopped by every week and picked up the premium in hand from their parents or their grandparents. So for the insurance man to show up and knock on the door is just really something that most of them don't give a second thought to. A warm-up period, again, that's something that if you talk to most guys that produce at a high level in final expense, their warm-up period is very, very minimal. There's lots of ways to skin a cat, so that's not to say that there's not successful guys that do, you know, a 30-minute warm-up. Talking about their family and themselves and clients, family and everything else, because there is guys that do that. So again, lots of ways to skin a cat. You just got to figure out which way is your way. But I can tell you that, you know, a 30-minute warm-up is not necessary. When I walk into a house, my warm-up is usually whatever conversation that we can get in or whatever I can point out between the front door and the kitchen table. So that walk is usually about, what, 10 seconds, something like that. But my warm-up started right away. So a lot of times it's based on the weather. You know, we live in the Midwest and the weather is different absolutely every day. And there's always something to bitch about when it comes to the weather. It's either too hot or it's too cold or not enough rain or too much snow or whatever it is. So that's something that opens up people right away. And then obviously if I can see something unique or pictures of grandkids on the wall or something on the way to the table, I'll point that out. Usually that's plenty. And again, that's something too that you should probably need to be a good judge of, to know, you know, if that person is cold, it has a guard up right away, won't even flash a smile at you, gives you grunts for answers, you probably need to spend a little bit more time on your warm up. Whereas if that person's very receptive to you jabbering away right away, your warm-up set. So, but like I said, the bottom line is don't walk into a house thinking that, okay, I've got to have this long drawn out warm-up process. One, that it's not necessary. Two, if you want to have very, very productive days, you want to be able to get a lot of appointments in a day or knocking a lot of doors in a day. If you go spend an hour and a half, 2 hours in every house to do your warm up, that doesn't really open itself up to having a high level of productivity. So the first thing I do when we actually get set down at the table is I pull the lead card out. Again, that's the one thing that separates you from somebody that's showing up cold is the fact that you have that direct mail lead in your hand that has their signature on it. Again, this is all kind of geared towards the direct mail just because, you know, our group nationally, you know, 95% of our business comes off guys that are out writing direct mail leads. That's where it's at. But you know, so when I sit down with a direct mail lead, I'm showing it to them right away. And then either one or two things, if they're right on board and I can see that they know why I'm there and what's going on, I'll just say, you know, like it says on the card there, what you'd sent this back into us about was our burial policy to help take care of funeral expenses. If they're not on board, or if I'm thinking that they're colder or, you know, something's not right away, then I'll actually read the card back to them word for word. Okay, this card says right here, you know, we have a program to help take care of funeral expenses. This affordable life insurance program can pay up to $35,000. Read it back to them just to make sure that they're on the same page with me, because I don't want to go any further if they're not in 100% understanding of what we're getting ready to go into or what we're getting ready to talk about. Once we've done that, I have kind of my opening questions that really set the stage of why we're there and also set the direction of where I want to go with my presentation. So after I've read the card back to them or showed the card to them, I just ask simply, what do you have in place already as far as final expenses go? And you know, your answers you get are gonna vary from nothing, I need to get something, or I've got my funeral paid up at the funeral home. Or, I've got a $10,000 burial policy to cover that. Or I've got a $10,000 life insurance policy to cover that. But I want to know what's in place already. One, that helps set the why of why you're there. And two, it lets you know what kind of options you have in front of you and where you need to go with your presentation. So if somebody says, I have a policy to take care of that, I always say, what do you have? And they say, well, I have a burial policy. That tells me that's fine. Their funeral's taken care of. We're going to talk about life insurance. On the other hand, if somebody says, I've got life insurance, well, that's fine too. We're going to talk about burial insurance. So another thing is, if somebody has something, you need to figure out what exactly is that they have. You got to, you know, what, when, and who. So, you know, what do you have? Is it a term policy? Is it a whole life policy? When did you take it out? Is this something you've done recently or something that you've had in place for, you know, the past 10, 15 years? And who, you know, who do you have it with? So, I mean, for all you guys that have been selling final expense for a while, the who is very important. Because if they right away tell you that they have, you know, AARP, well, you pretty much, not 100%, but you pretty much know where that puts you at and what kind of policy they have. To whereas if they say, you know, I've got a policy that I've had with Washington National for the past 30 years, that's going to tell you something too. So the biggest thing you can do, especially you guys that are just getting started and don't really know, as soon as somebody tells you they have something, well, why don't you just ask them, why don't you go grab that real quick and I can do a review of that for you? Because you really have to be able to get whatever they have in your hands so you can take a look at it and know if it's, you know, universal life that's getting ready to implode, or if it's a term that's getting ready to term out on them, or if they do have a nice whole life policy there, or they have a whole life policy that you need to add to, you know, whatever it is. So, but after that, you know, usually you can get them to pull that policy out. You can sit down and look at it for them. Then say, you know what? So what was your goal then? Were you wanting to try to find something cheaper than you have already? Or were you just looking for additional coverage? Having that policy in front of you is a big part of that, because then you know, like I said, if there's any other options as far as the cash value that they have right now. And simply a lot of them, if they do have something, a universal life that's getting ready to implode or a term that's getting ready to term out, they just simply don't know about it. And if you try to sit there and explain any of those factors to them without the policy in front of you, you're usually looking at a dead end, because they're convinced that it's whole life when it's actually not, or whatever. But if you can show it to them, you know, in writing right here, look, it says right here, you know, 2 years from now, when you turn 71 years old, your term is up. So if you can show it to them, it makes a big difference. The last opening question, the two other opening questions I have are, you know, have you had to take care of any funerals lately? Are you aware of what they're running these days? Again, this is pretty much more geared towards when I said, what do you have in place already? And they say nothing. Okay, well, have you had to take care of any funerals lately? Are you aware of what they're running these days? And again, one of two directions. Either they'll start rattling off all the funerals they've been a part of and how expensive they were, or they'll say, no, I haven't. If they start rattling off, they're making the sale for you. They're presenting their problem right there. And if they start talking about funerals and how expensive they are, shut your mouth and let them go. Because they just start driving it deeper and deeper for you. If they have any experience with that, again, just let them talk. If they said they don't, then I just come back with, okay, well, just to give you an idea, you know, we get estimates every year from the National Funeral Directors Association on what the average is here in the state of Missouri. And right now that average is $7,824. And then I just explained to them, you know, that is an average. It can vary. If you're really conscious and your kids have the peace of mind at the time to shop around, you can probably get that down closer to 6,000. And on the other hand, if they're very specific about what funeral home they want to use and they're not going to budge on that, and they know exactly what kind, and you want to upgrade this or this, you know, they're going to be at $10,000 and $12,000 in a hurry. But you know, realistically, it doesn't matter if we're talking about $6,000 or if we're talking about $12,000. That's a lot of money, wouldn't you agree? And I've never had anybody say no to that. Everybody's going to agree with you that's a lot of money either way. So, so from there, I give a very, very, very quick synopsis of, you know, what we have to offer. I don't want to get into anything in detail before I can qualify health and know what options that we have. But I just say, you know, what our program does is it's set up to allow you to account for that expense ahead of time while you're still living, while you still have an income coming in. And then that way it's not a financial burden back on your daughter, Beth. We can do a benefit anywhere from a minimum of $5,000 up to a maximum of $35,000 that will pay out to Beth when you pass. That way she doesn't have to come out of pocket for it, or she's not having to, you know, beg other people or pass a hat around for it. It's a true burial policy. It does not lock you into a funeral home. So you can use any funeral home you want. Doesn't matter if you're cremated or buried. That benefit's going to be there either way. She doesn't have to spend all the money at the funeral home. So let's say you do a $20,000 benefit, and when the bills all settle up at the funeral home, your funeral runs $10,000. Well, she's going to have the other $15,000 left over to help her take care of bills around the house here, whether it's pay your final utility bills, cleanup costs if they're getting ready to sell the house, food for a family get together, or even, you know, maybe one of the grandkids needs help with travel expenses to make it back for your funeral. She's going to have that money there to take care of all those things. So it's really a simple program. It's common sense. We all know we got to take care of those things eventually. It just allows you to account for them ahead of time. But the first thing we have to do here is run through a few health questions with you to make sure we can get you qualified all the way. Unfortunately, not everybody can qualify. They do have restrictions as far as health goes. But let's run through these and see if you're one that can qualify or not. Before I go on any further, does anybody have any questions, any thoughts, comments they want to throw out on the beginning part there? Okay. So the next thing that I'm going to do after I do that, we presented the problem right there. Next thing I'm going to do is find out where we sit health-wise. Because if you don't do that before you get into any products or any carriers, you're setting yourself up to have a crash later on. So if you start talking about immediate benefits and everything's locked in, and then once the meds come out, you realize that ain't going to happen, then you're trying to have to crawl back out of this hole you just dug for yourself. So first thing I'm going to do is get into the meds. And I just start out real simple. You know, how old are you, Betty? Or, you know, you said on here that you're 67 years old. Is that right? So, yeah, I'm 67. So, well, how's your health? How's your health in general? And people start talking about their health. They love that opportunity. Most of the seniors we visit with will just start, you know, rattling off either one, how they saw their doctor yesterday and they got a heart of a 20-year-old. Doctor's never seen anybody with a heart that young. Or they're on the opposite end of the spectrum. It's like, oh, it's horrible. I've got diabetes, and I've got high blood pressure, and I got high cholesterol, and everything else. But everybody's going to open up when you ask them about their health. So that's the first thing to say. How's your health in general? Okay. And then I have just my basic list of questions that I ask. It's not verbatim off of any specific application. It's just mine to figure out where we sit at health-wise. So I just rattle right through. Have you ever had any strokes or heart attacks, cancer, kidney disease, liver disease, diabetes, chronic lung disease, emphysema, COPD, any neuromuscular disease, multiple sclerosis, paralysis, Parkinson's? I run those. That's kind of the base questions that every application has on them. So if they can say no to those, I know pretty good chance. There's still roadblocks that can come up when you pull the actual application for that carrier out, you know, whether it's one on, getting assistance, if it's one on DUI felony convictions, you know, based on specific applications, but that gives you a pretty good idea. The next thing I always ask is, are you still working or are you retired? And this is nothing to do with health in my eyes, but that's where I ask it at. So I can even be visiting with a lady that's 81 years old, and I know damn well that she's not working, but I'll ask, are you still working or are you retired? And she'll laugh and say, oh, I'm retired. And then I'll say, are you just on Social Security then? And she'll say, yep, just on Social Security. And I'll say, okay, do you use that green Social Security debit card? And that's the reason I ask, are you still working? Are you still retired? It's a very nice way to ask, do you have a bank account? Because I want to know, again, because our carriers are more restricted of what we can use when somebody doesn't have an actual checking or savings than they are if they do. So are you still working? Are you still retired? I'm retired. Just Social Security. Yep. Do you use that green Social Security debit card? And it's either yep, so you know you got a debit card user and you know what your options are, or it's green Social Security debit card. I don't know what you're talking about. That just goes right into my checking account every month. Great. So I know you're bankable right then, and all of our carriers are open to us once again. But I've just found that to be a much less abrasive way than sitting right down at the table and say, do you have a bank account? Because that obviously can turn a lot of people off. Why is this guy trying to get my bank account all of a sudden? But yet you can find out in a hurry if they do or they don't. Next thing health-wise is I need to see a list of your medications. You can either go grab the bottles, or if you have a list, that would be great too. But I just need to see the names and dosages of everything that you take. And, you know, in all reality, that's what tells our underwriting story. That's what figures out what we can and can't get approved for, because they can say no to everything. And if the medications tell a different story, then the medications tell the true story. So. So I'll look through all their medications. I'll know right away where they're going to be able to qualify at. But that's where, if you're not as familiar with our carriers, or if you're a newer final expense agent starting out, where you'll want to get out a prescription drug guide to look up anything you don't know. And then also, our field underwriting guide that tells you where you can and can't place clients based on health conditions. So you'll know what your options are. But I'd take about 30 seconds or whatever it takes you to figure out where they're going to qualify for, where you want to place them at. And then you can actually present the solution to them at that point. So, well, it looks like you're in great health and you can actually qualify for a preferred program or the best program. And that's going to do two things for you. One, it's going to make sure you get the best rates that are available. You know, we have 12 different carriers that underwrite for us, and we're able to take your individual health profile and shop it around all those carriers and find out which one's going to get the best deal for you. People like to hear that because, you know, some of them have a shopping mentality anyway. But they know that you're shopping for them and that you're going to find the best rate for them. For a lot of folks, that can put them at ease. So, but you qualify for a preferred program. What that means for you, best rates, but even bigger, it means that you can get a full and immediate death benefit. And what I mean by that is if you set up a $15,000 benefit and God forbid something happens to you next month, it's going to pay that full $15,000 out to your daughter. Okay. And why I point that out is because you've probably seen a lot of things that come to you in the mail or on TV where you gotta wait 2 years or 3 years before they're worth anything. Well, with this, you're covered right away for the full amount. And then the rest of the solution, and my actual product explanation, my solution presentation is very short, very concise, and it just hits the points that I know most people are going to think about or are going to ask. Most of our clients don't want to hear about the carrier. I can tell you that I would bet 90% of my sales, they don't even know who they're insured by, until I'm closing everything up and getting ready to walk out the door. Then I'll let them know who to look for in the mail, who their policy is going to come from. So, I mean, they're not, most of our clients aren't concerned with AM Best ratings and, you know, who the client or who the carrier is or anything like that. But my solution presentation is just, you know, we've got three guarantees that come with this. One, your rate will never increase. So, whatever, monthly payment you decide to set up for this, that's locked in. It's not going to go up every month, every year, every 5 years, anything like that. You set it up from the first day, it stays right there. So you know it's in the budget and it's not going to change. Number two, whatever benefit you set up, that's guaranteed. So if you set up a $15,000 benefit, it doesn't matter how old you get, doesn't matter how sick you get, it's always going to be there for you. Okay. And number three, this can never be canceled or taken away from you. So the benefit you got today is the same benefit that you're always going to have. So what those three things do for you is they just guarantee that everything's locked in. So you know what you have from day one, the premium, the coverage, neither one of them ever change. So again, my solution part of it is really simple. That would also be the point where, you know, but that would be the point where we could explain the difference between term life and whole life. You know, so if you get these offers in the mail that show something, you know, $8 a month or $50,000 worth of coverage, well, that's going to be a term life policy. So either the coverage is going to change when you get older, or the premium is going to change, or they're going to kick you out. After that, what I do is go right into rates, presenting some options for them. If we've already in our discussion established where they want to be, then I will just say, well, I'm going to figure three rates. So if in our discussion, you know, it keeps being talked about that we're going to do, you know, the 10,000, I need 10,000, or it took my sister 10,000, or I always knew that it would be 10,000 for a funeral, then I'm going to figure three rates that are right around the 10,000, whether it's 12,000, 10,000, and 8,000, or 15,000, 12,000, and 10,000. Or if we haven't really established that in our conversation that we've had so far, I'm just going to say, all right, well, I'm going to figure some rates up for you here. Did you have a benefit level in mind that you were thinking about, or you just want me to show you some different options? So, and again, that's just an option, because that's where a lot of times people say, well, let's start at 20,000. And it helps take away that any kind of preconceived notion that you might have about what benefit they're interested in or what their budget is or anything like that. So somebody says, well, it's 20,000. Well, I'll always figure 20, and maybe it's way out of their budget. But you know, it doesn't hurt to take a look at it, and you can always come down on it. So I'll figure up three levels, 15,000, 12,000, and 10,000. Present all those to them, and then that's my first close right there, is just simply ask. So that's the 15, the 12, and the 10. You let me know, does one of those work for you, or do you want me to figure up a different level? And again, that's where things really kind of start to get real, and that's, I guess I've heard somebody else say it, is that's where you go from telling the program to selling the program. So fortunately, you know, when you're working direct mail leads, about two out of every 10 of them are going to be just lay downs right there. Two out of every 10 are going to be, I'll do the 10,000, or, you know, I'll do the 12,000. And then, you know, another two out of those 10 are going to be where there's going to be objections come forward, and either you can find a way to make a sale right then, or you can't. And so that turns you, whether you're a 20% close guy or you're a, you know, 30% plus close guy. I can tell you the first thing that I do, if I get any hesitation on that, so if I get anything other than let's do the 10 or let's do the 15, the first thing I do is come back with, well, there's two other things I didn't mention to you, or I forgot to mention to you, or maybe I haven't mentioned to you yet. First of all, we can always add on to your program later. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you need to start at 8,000 to make sure you have enough to cover what the average funeral is. This program's flexible, so we can always come back later and add an additional 2,000 to get you up to 10 or whatever you need to be. But you can always make changes down the road. The other thing is, you don't have to pay anything on this today. So we're able to get you approved. They'll send a policy to you in the mail. You don't have to make the first payment till later this month or beginning of next month or whatever works for you. The reason I throw that out, those two things out there, if there's any hesitation, is because 75, 80% of the objections you hear are all actually, I can't afford it. I can't afford it right now. I can't afford it this month. No matter what else they're veiled as, whether it's I'm not interested or that's my kid's problem or they can throw me in a ditch or however they present it to you, the majority of those objections are truly the money objection. So if I can let people that, yeah, I understand it's the 26th of the month right now. You got back on the 3rd. You can't afford this right now. The month's almost up. Completely understand that. So just got to make sure you let them know that, you know, we can set this up. We don't have to put this off. We don't have to be, you know, give me a couple weeks, contact me in a couple weeks, anything like that. We can solve your problem right now, but you don't have to pay anything until you get your Social Security on the 3rd. So I make sure I throw those two out, and you will be, if you do that, you'll be surprised how many of them, you know, I can give 15, 12, and 10, and it's, oh, I'm not interested in that. I don't really care. I'm not going to die. And then I throw out, did I mention to you that you don't have to pay anything on this today? You don't have to pay till the 3rd? Oh, yeah, well, let's do the 12,000. Yeah, that 12,000 worked great. Whew, that makes me feel a lot better. Even though they just told you that they're not worried about it, as soon as you tell them they don't have to make a payment till the 3rd on it, that all just kind of, that weight comes off their shoulder and they feel great about it. And, you know, they've been worried about it and they're ready to get it taken care of. So if you can throw those two out, that with no more explanation even needed, a lot of times those will help turn the corner for you. Obviously, there's a myriad of objections that we can get. So rather than throw any of those out, when we're done here, I'll just let you guys start throwing those out and we can brainstorm as a group on them. After we do that, though, so after we've decided on 10,000, say, all right, I just need to get a little bit more information from you. We'll get this taken care of. Apps filled out. Usually, I get everything done. So they've made a commitment. I'm going to get the whole application filled out. I'm going to get signatures on it before we even talk about a bank draft. Seems like bank drafts aren't near the objection that they used to be, or people having problems not wanting you touching their account. I know 15 years ago, it was something I heard a lot because people weren't as accustomed to it. But now it seems like most folks already have their car insurance or their health insurance or their house insurance or their utilities or whatever it is on bank drafts, so you don't hear much objection to it. But either way, I still get pen on paper, get signatures. They're my client before we talk about a bank draft. So when I finalize things up, it's just, all right, so what I'm going to do is send all this in. They're going to send you a policy in the mail. It'll take about 2 to 3 weeks. What you're going to look for is a big white envelope directly from Royal Neighbors or whoever we're talking about. And I show them the logo that they're looking for in the mail. And then I tell them, once you get this, there's nothing you have to fill out. There's nothing you have to send back. Just file it away so you know wherever it's at. As far as the payments go, like I mentioned to you, you don't have to pay anything today. What they require is that you just have it set up to run through the bank electronically every month. Standard date is the 3rd of every month, but if you want a different date, I can put it on here right now. And so they know the 3rd's fine. Wonderful. Is that a checking or savings you want it to run through? It's checking. Okay. I just need to get a voided check from you, or I just need to look at a check and, get that information from you. Again, some of our carriers vary on how you do that process because, for instance, raw neighbors, you need to have that checking information before you place the phone call. Or Americo, if you're doing the e-application, you need to have that checking information before you get the final two signatures. So, but wherever it is in there, like I said, if you just present it that, you know, this is not an option, this is mandatory, it happens on the third. The only option you have right now is if you want to tell me a different date, not whether or not you want it to run through the bank. So, but again, I'm finalizing bank draft. You can get the policy. First draft is going to be on the third. And then the last thing that I like to do is most of our carriers have some kind of funeral planning guide that they put out. And so I like to use that for whatever carrier that I'm riding and say, you know, last thing for you here, this is just a planning guide, that is for your own use. What it does, and then I flip through some of the pages with them. What it does is walks you through and helps you get all that information down for your daughter. That way when you pass, Beth knows exactly what kind of services you wanted, who she needs to contact. You know, if you want, you can go through here and get as specific as to picking out what scripture you want read, what hymns you want sung at your funeral, who you want the pallbearers to be. But this is just a really nice guide that serves as a blueprint for Beth when you pass away. Using that, that's something that I think is important. It kind of takes you to another level of what you're actually providing for them. So instead of just, you know, walking out the door, making a financial transaction of a promise of being insured, you're actually providing them with a plan to take care of their funeral expenses, even though it's, you have no other obligation to it. You know, you don't have to follow up and help them file at a funeral home or pick out a casket or anything like that. They feel, it gives them the feeling that they've really, you know, taken that planning step of taking that off of their kids. So again, that's something that I really like to use. So last thing, here's my card. On my business card, I have all of our carriers listed on it, so I can put a little X next to the carrier that they have their policy through. Here's my toll-free number. You call me at any time. When that policy gets here, if you have any questions whatsoever, there's anything you don't understand, just holler at me. I'm always around here somewhere. I'll stop by and look at it with you. I think in 15 years, I've had like two people call me wanting me to come by and look at their policy with them. It just simply doesn't happen. But it's something that gives them some confidence that you're still going to be there when they get their policy, or if they have any questions, or that you're guaranteed that it's everything in there is going to be just like you said it would be. So that kind of runs through a presentation from start to finish. I'll open it up and see what kind of questions people have, whether it's specific objections or anything else as far as presentation goes. Does anybody have any questions?
I do, Matt. This is Mike Mazza.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. I was on mute before I tried to ask a question. But anyway, you mentioned earlier in your opening, you mentioned AARP, which I know they sell term insurance, but you also mentioned Washington National. What's specific to their policies?
Oh, you know, most of what I see from Washington National is usually universal type stuff, but that's more of a general life carrier, not a final expense focused carrier.
Gotcha.
And that's okay. Just one that I threw out off the cuff. I mean, the ones that we'll usually see that you're going to see and they're going to be a good opportunity to replace is AARP, MetLife, Colonial Penn, Lincoln Heritage, although it is a whole life policy, it's terribly expensive, know, like that. So like I said, as you get out and you get comfortable with it, some of those carriers, you know, you're going to hear them right away and you're going to know either that's a term for sure, or, you know, that's overpriced for sure. You know, things like that.
Okay. One more question, if you don't mind. So service issues down the road, a client wants to change Benny's, or they want to change bank draft day. Do you handle service issues, or you do refer them to, you know, the carrier 800 number?
You know, it can kind of go either way. A lot of times with change Benny's, if they're in the area that I'm working in, I'd like to stop by and do that. just simply because I can gain additional sales, I can gain referrals. So if it's something that's easy for me to work in, that I'd like to stop by and take care of a Benny. As far as changing bank drafts, that kind of depends on, you know, if they're changing banks or just a different account or just a different date. Some of that stuff, you know, we can handle all three-way with the carrier at that point. Again, if they're in the same zip code that I'm working tomorrow, I'll schedule it as an appointment, and I'll go and try to make an additional sale while I'm there, whether it's on the same client or a spouse or a child or brother-in-law or whatever it is. But if it's, like I said, it's not something, I'm not going to take a half of a day to run, you know, an hour in the wrong direction to take care of that. So in those cases, we'll either get on a three-way call with the carrier, or I can send them a form out, or, you know, whatever I need to do.
Gotcha.
Most of that stuff I handle myself. Cancellations, I send to the carrier. I just tell them, you know, if you want to cancel this policy, you either need to call the carrier and take care of it, or send your policy back to them. So I make my best effort at conserving first, and when that fails and they still want to cancel, they need to take care of it with the carrier, just because I don't want that liability on me. Because,
sure,
you know, if it's just they call and say, I want to cancel it, and you pass that on to the carrier, and they die that night, and their kids are looking for money, but the carrier is saying, hey, Matt, the agent said that they wanted to cancel it, you know, this is no good anymore. So I just explain that to them. You know, you need to contact the carrier about that, because they need to hear it from you or get it in writing that's what your intentions are.
Okay, great. I'm sorry to monopolize this, but one more about referrals. You mentioned referrals. Is that part of your presentation? Do you have a segue into referrals, or is that usually for follow-up?
I think that should be part of your follow-up. My double speak here, I do a very poor job of that, and Jerry probably gets sick of hearing that, because I've been saying that on conference calls for 15 years now. But I do a very bad job of referrals. And part of that's just because we've always had plentiful leads, and I'm always concerned about, you know, moseying down to the next lead. But another part of that is, you know, when I set a field day, when I'm my days in the field, I got 10 or 12 appointments, and they're, you know, at least on the hour every hour, and, you know, I'm needing to get on to the next one. But that's something that you should have on yours. And the best way to do that is just simply, you know, once you've sold somebody and they're happy and they're feeling good, and man, I'm glad I got this taken care of, you know, just simply ask them, you know, do you know anybody else that could use a plan like this? Or, you know, your sister or your brother, you know, you mentioned that your brother-in-law died and your sister had to take care of his funeral. Does your sister have a plan set up yet? You know, things like that. And then whoever it is, they say, oh yeah, my neighbor was talking about something like this, or, you know, my sister was talking about something like this. Well, get them on the phone. You know, why don't you call them up real quick and introduce me to them, and maybe I can set up a time where I can show her.
Okay.
But any referrals, I just highly recommend that your client calls them up while you're sitting right there.
Yep.
Not, well, here's an extra card, have her call me, or you know, have her give me a ring, or pass her number on to me and I'll call her later. Call her up.
I know.
Call her up right now and introduce me.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for the questions, because the questions help. I mean, everybody, whenever somebody, we can get guys on here and interacting and either giving their thoughts or asking questions, it benefits the whole group. So anybody else have any questions, whether general or specific? And another thing we can open up in the last couple minutes here, you know, even outside of presentation, any questions on leads, carriers, specific products, anything else? I mean, we definitely always have an open forum if there's something you want to talk about or get the group to brainstorm on. Okay. What I'd also like to pass on to you, if any of you guys, got on here late, right at 10 o'clock there, we were talking that Foresters had made an announcement this week that they were coming out with an e-app with instant approval in the House, which sounds like it's going to be just like Americo Eagle, which is kind of exciting news in security. National Life has had it known for a while now that they're doing the same thing, and it's actually been beta tested for the past, I think since the January 1st, they've been testing it. And they're getting real close to having that available to all agents too. So I'm guessing by the end of September, we should have three carriers that you can write on an e-app on an iPad or a tablet and have a instant decision. And that's pretty exciting stuff. Something that I'm excited about because I love that process. A few other notes. You can get on our training site, www.paysayeradvantage.com/training. Click on the online training button. Password is agent-training. That's where you can find the field underwriting guide that we had talked about to help you sort through all those carriers. You can also find scripts, audio recordings of presentations, final expense training manual that has the whole presentation script in it. All that's online there. Another thing too, our lead incentive program, if any of you guys aren't taking advantage of that yet, there's guys that are profiting big time, keeping a lot of money back in their pocket, really lessening their lead expense by their final issued and paid production with us. Again, that's on the site, paysayeradvantage.com/incentives. But you can see on there how your total monthly production can save you a lot of money as far as leads go in the next 4 weeks after that. So other than that, if you guys have any questions whatsoever, I'm always available or try to always be available. Jerry's always available. Contracting questions, if there's any other additional carriers that you're not contracted with and you want to get hooked up with, you can always give Lisa a holler too. But we're all here. If you have questions, concerns, anything we can help you out with, by all means, don't hesitate. Just call us up at any time. So other than that, if nobody has any other questions, I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Have a happy and safe Labor Day next weekend. We'll plan on getting back on the phone the Friday after that. But again, any questions in the meantime, just make sure you give us a holler. So, have a good weekend.
Hey, Matt.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Matt. Something you and I were talking about prior to the conference call is incentives. And I am wondering if we could get some input from the folks who are on the conference call this morning on what incentives, other than the lead cost reduction program that we have, you know, we have a number of agents who are doing maybe 3,000, 4,000 a month. We would like to find a way to get you to 5,000, 6,000 a month. If there's an incentive there that would entice you to increase your production, we'd like to know about it. So just email Matt or me and or give us a call. But we're certainly open to looking at other incentive programs as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you fall in that mark to where you're, you know, producing regularly, but you're not producing at a level yet, our lead co-op incentive, I think, is the minimum of 12 or 15,000 a month. So if you're producing regularly, but not at a level to where you're hitting those incentives, let us know what would be an incentive to get you, you know, from 4,000 to 6,000 or 8,000 or something like that. So, yeah, shoot us an email or give us a phone call.
So, thank you, Matt. Great call. Thanks for everyone being on with us today.
Yep, thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Bye-bye.